Hello and welcome to Think Like a Nurse. I'm your host. This is the place where we try to take really complex nursing topics and just make them easier to understand. This show is created by Brooke Wallace. She's a 20-year ICU nurse, an organ transplant coordinator, clinical instructor, and also a published author. So today we're tackling something that I know causes a lot of anxiety and collects pharmacology questions, specifically for heart failure.
Oh, yeah. Those are notorious.
Totally. Especially those, you know, those awful SATA questions or the ones about priority and delegation. It feels like you need to know 50 different side effects for every single drug.
It's classic information overload. Yeah. It paralyzes you right when you need to think clearly.
Yeah, exactly. So our mission today, we want to give you a shortcut. Forget memorizing endless lists. We've boiled it down to five repeatable, almost automatic attack moves.
Attack moves. I like that.
Yeah. The idea is you see the HF med in the question, you fire off the specific move, and boom, you can crack that question seriously in like 30 seconds or less.
And it's crucial to understand this isn't just about recall. The NCLEX tests application clinical judgment. Mm-hmm. It tests your reflexes, really.
Right.
So these moves are designed for doing, for intervening, not just, you know, reciting facts. It's about training that clinical reflex.
Okay, training the reflex. I get that.
Yeah.
But help me understand. Doesn't strategy still need some memory? Like, how is this different from just memorizing five different things instead of 50?
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
But it's about what you're memorizing and why. You're not memorizing, say, the pharmacokinetics of furosemide.
Okay.
You're memorizing the action tied to its biggest, most immediate danger. Furosemide means check potassium and weight. It's an action consequence link. That one critical link helps you prioritize everything else in the question.
So it directs your focus instantly to the most critical piece.
Precisely. See the med, fire the move, find the priority. It cuts through the noise.
All right, let's get into them. These five attack moves. What's the first one? Let's start with probably the most common HF diuretic, furosemide.
Okay, furosemide. The move is simple and automatic. Check the potassium and the weight.
Potassium and weight. Got it.
Furosemide just pours potassium out of the body. So your brain has to immediately scan for hypokalemia. Think low potassium levels, muscle cramps, weakness, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And it's a diuretic, so dehydration is a risk. That's where the weight comes in. Daily weights are key. And watching the INO, the fluid input and output.
Right, tracking fluid status. So prioritize the immediate danger, low potassium, and the key monitoring weight. Makes sense. Okay, move number two. Let's talk beta blockers. Carvedilol is a common one in HF. What's the reflex?
This one's maybe the most straightforward. The move is pulse before pill.
Pulse before pill. Simple.
Absolutely non-negotiable. Beta blockers slow the heart rate. That's their job, partly. So rule number one, check the pulse. If that heart rate is under 60.
Hold the med.
Hold the med. Or if the patient's saying they feel dizzy, lightheaded, hold it. That assessment comes first. Always.
Okay, very clear. Pulse before pill for carvedilol. Now let's swing back to diuretics, but the other kind. Spironolactone. This one is potassium sparing.
Right, the opposite effect on potassium compared to furosemide.
So what's the move here? Is it just the reverse?
Essentially, yes. The reflex becomes potassium is the boss. Now you're looking for the danger of high potassium hyperkalemia.
Uh-huh.
So you're scanning for high potassium lab values, maybe EKG changes like those peak T waves you hear about.
Right, the classic sign.
And the big NCLEX trap diet. Specifically, salt substitutes. You need to know they're often loaded with potassium chloride.
Ah, so you have to teach the patient to avoid them.
Absolutely. Critical teaching point. Potassium is the boss. Reminds you to watch the levels in the intake.
Okay, that makes sense. Potassium focus, but this time on the high end. Got it. Number four, Entresto. Sacubicrovalsartan. This one's a bit newer, but showing up more. What's the critical reflex?
For Entresto, the danger is unique and serious. The move is angioedema equals SOP and call.
Angioedema. Okay, that's the swelling, right? Lips, yeah. Tongue.
Exactly. Face, lips, tongue, even the airway.
Yeah.
It can be fatal. Yeah. So any mention of swelling, especially around the mouth or throat, that's your trigger. Stop the drug immediately. Call the provider. It's an emergency.
You mentioned something earlier, too, about a washout period. Like 36 hours if they were on an ACE inhibitor before. Why 36 hours?
Yeah, that's a really important detail. And the NCLEX loves testing those connections.
Mm.
See, Entresto works partly by stopping the breakdown of bradykinin.
Okay.
And ACE inhibitors, they increase bradykinin. So if you give them together or too close together.
You get way too much bradypitocin.
Way too much. And bradykinin is the main chemical driver behind angioedema. That 36 hours is needed to let the ACE inhibitor effects clear out. reducing that massive risk.
Yeah.
It's a critical safety window.
Wow. Okay, so that 36-hour rule is directly tied to preventing that life-threatening angioedema. Good to know. All right, fifth and final move, SGLT2 inhibitors like dapagliflozin. They're being used more in heart failure now, too.
Correct. They work by making the kidneys dump excess sugar into the urine.
Sugar in the urine. Okay, what's the danger there?
Dunk about what likes sugar. Bacteria, yeast. Yeah. So the move is infection down below.
Ah, okay. Makes sense. Risk of UTIs, yeast infections.
Exactly. Glucosuria, that sugar in the urine, it's like setting up a buffet for microbes.
Mm-hmm.
So the priority becomes patient teaching. Hygiene is crucial. Wiping front to back, keeping the area clean and dry, and encouraging plenty of fluids to help flush things through.
Infection down below, hygiene and fluids. Got it. Okay, wow. Those are the five moves. Pretty straightforward when you put it like that.
That's the goal. Simple, actionable reflexes tied to the biggest danger.
All right, let's test these reflexes. Time for some rapid-fire NCLEX style cases. Listeners, try to spot the med, fire off the move in your head, and think about the answer before we break it down. Ready?
Let's do it.
Case one, furosemide. Priority and say to select, all that apply. You've got a client with heart failure getting furosemide 40 milligram IV. Which of these findings need immediate intervention? Okay, options are A, weight loss of 2 pounds in 24 hours, B, serum potassium 3.2 MEQLA, crackles noted in both lung bases, D, BP 800-856 mHg, E, urine output 800 millirem in 4 hours. What's the move?
Furosemide. Check the potassium and the weight. But weight also connects to fluid status and BP.
Okay, so scanning those options. Potassium 3.2, that's low. BP 88-56, that's low too. What else?
Those are your immediate priorities. B, the potassium 3.2, and D, the BP 88-56.
Okay, why not the others? Tell us about the traps.
Right, so A, weight loss of 2 pounds. That's good with furosemide. We want them to lose fluid weight, maybe about 1-2 pounds or 0.51 kilograms a day. That's therapeutic.
Protected outcome.
C, crackles. Well, the furosemide is for the crackles, to get rid of the fluid causing them. It's the reason for the drug, not an immediate adverse event needing intervention before low K or BP.
Right, it's the baseline problem.
And E, urine output 800 milliliters in 4 hours. That's fantastic, 200 milliliters per hour. The drug is working really well.
So the immediate life threats are the low potassium and the hypotension. Got it.
Exactly, the reflex guides you to the danger.
Okay, case two, carvedilol. This one's about delegation. The RN is delegating morning meds to the UAP unlicensed assistive personnel. For which client should the RN administer the carvedilol herself instead of delegating? We need the scenario that requires RN assessment.
Carvedilol reflex is pulse before pill.
So we're looking for a pulse issue. Let's say one client's vitals are heart rate 56, BP 10060.
That's the one, the client with the heart rate of 56.
Why? Explain the delegation principle here.
Delegation hinges on assessment. UAPs can give meds in stable situations, but they typically don't perform assessments that require clinical judgment, like deciding if a med should be held based on vital signs. Since the heart rate is below 60, the RN must assess the patient first. They need to verify the rate, maybe check for symptoms, and make the judgment call to hold the med and notify the provider. That assessment piece cannot be delegated.
Okay. The reflex points to the necessary assessment, and that assessment dictates the delegation. Makes sense. Case three, spironolactone. This is a teaching question. A client just started on spironolactone asks, my doctor said no salt. Okay, but can I use my salt substitute? What's the best response?
Spironolactone.reflex.
Wow.
Potassium is the boss. Salt substitutes. High potassium.
So the answer has to be about that risk.
Right. The best response is something direct like, no, you really need to avoid those salt substitutes. They contain potassium and could raise your levels dangerously high.
Clear, direct, addresses the potassium risk. Perfect.
It links directly back to that core danger. Simple cause and effect based on the reflex.
All right, case four, Entresto. Adverse effect question. Client started on Entresto 3 days ago. Which symptom needs immediate reporting to the provider? Options might include dry cough, dizziness, maybe mild headache, or swelling of the tongue.
Entresto reflex.
Bruh.
Angioedema equals S dot P and call.
So the answer jumps right out.
It has to be swelling of the tongue. Or lips, or face.
Why is that so much more critical than, say, a dry cough?
Airway, breathing, circulation, ABCs. Swelling of the tongue or throat is a potential airway obstruction. That's a life-threatening emergency that trumps everything else. Dry cough, annoying, might need a med change later. Dizziness, needs assessment, could be hypotension. But angioedema, that's stop everything and intervene now.
The reflex forces the ABC prioritization. Love it. Okay, last case, case five. SGLT2 inhibitor. Patient teaching on dapagliflozin. Which statement by the client shows they understand the most important teaching point?
SGLT2i reflex, infection down below. So we're listening for understanding about hygiene.
So a statement like, I'll make sure to clean front to back after using the bathroom and wash my genital area often.
Exactly. That shows they understand the why behind the teaching, preventing infection due to the glucosuria. Other options might be about blood sugar or fluid intake, which are relevant. But the unique priority teaching point driven by this drug class's mechanism is the infection risk.
Wow. Five cases, five different scenarios. Priority, SADA, delegation, teaching, adverse effects, all cracked pretty quickly just by triggering that one core reflex for each drug.
That's the power of it. You train yourself to stop getting bogged down in all the details and just zero in on the most critical action or assessment tied to that specific medication.
Okay, let's just quickly cement these, like a little cheat sheet. Repeat them with us mentally, folks. Furosemide.
Check potassium and weight.
Carvedilol.
Pulse before pill.
Spironolactone.
Potassium is the boss.
Entresto.
Angioedema equals ester OP and call.
And SGLT2 inhibitors.
Infection down below.
Got it. Okay, but the NCLEX isn't always as straightforward. Like, they like to mix things up.
Oh, absolutely. That brings us to what I call the med mix-up trap. This is where they test your next-level critical thinking by putting interacting drugs together in the scenario.
Okay, give us an example.
Well, remember Entresto and ACE inhibitors. And that 36-hour washout?
Yeah, because of the bradykinin and angioedema risk.
Right. So a TRAV question might describe a patient who is maybe taking both or started on Entresto only 12 hours after stopping lisinopril, an ACE inhibitor.
Ah, okay. So the angioedema risk is sky high.
Exactly. So your intervention isn't just standard monitoring. It's recognizing an imminent major risk. You'd likely need to hold both medications, notify the provider immediately, and be on high alert for any sign of swelling. The interaction elevates the danger level significantly.
Okay, so the mix-up changes the required action. What's another common one?
Combining the diuretics. Furosemide, which wastes potassium, with spironolactone, which spares potassium.
Mm. Okay, so they might cancel each other out. Like, the potassium level might actually look normal.
Precisely. And that's the trap. You see a normal potassium level on the labs, and you think, okay, good. But you're missing the bigger picture.
What's the bigger picture, then, if potassium is okay?
Dehydration. You've got two diuretics working through different mechanisms, both pulling off fluid, the risk of fluid volume deficit, hypotension, orthostatic hypotension, maybe even electrolyte imbalances other than potassium becomes the new priority.
Ah, so because the primary side effect, the potassium issue, is balanced out, you have to shift your focus to the next biggest risk, which is massive fluid loss.
You got it. It tests if you can reassess and reprioritize when the clinical picture changes due to the drug combination.
That's tricky, but it makes sense. It's about understanding the combined effect, not just the individual drug reflexes.
Right. The reflexes are your starting point.
Yeah.
But clinical judgment means layering on that interaction knowledge.
Okay, let's wrap this up then. We started talking about feeling overwhelmed by HF pharmacology on the NLEX.
Yeah, that feeling of drowning in side effects.
But now, hopefully, you feel like you have, well, five automatic weapons, these five attack moves, to tackle those questions head on. It's about strategy, not just pure memorization.
It really comes back to training those clinical reflexes. The NCLEX wants to know, can you spot the danger quickly? Can you prioritize the right action? These moves help you do just that automatically. See the drug, fire the move, find the answer.
So here's a challenge for everyone listening. Go find 10 NCLEX-style questions on heart failure meds sometime today or tomorrow. Don't just jump to the answer. See the med, consciously fire off the attack move we talked about, then work through the question. See if it helps solidify that pattern.
And maybe think beyond heart failure, too. What other areas of nursing? Maybe it's pediatric calculations, maybe recognizing sepsis early, maybe IV drip factors. What other complex topics could potentially be broken down into a set of quick, actionable, almost reflexive moves? Where else can you train that instant clinical recognition?
That's a great thought to leave people with. How can you apply this attack move thinking elsewhere? Well, that's all the time we have for today on Think Like a Nurse. We hope breaking down these HF meds helps you feel more confident.
Keep practicing those reflexes.
Absolutely. Join us again next week as we tackle another complex nursing topic and try to make it just a little bit easier. Thanks for listening.